Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hello, I'm Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. We've been going through every team and doing a short. That's what we're going to do today. I'll try to keep this one short. I apologize in advance, but we're doing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I work for the Steelers Nation Radio. I was at camp. I was at the draft. I'll be at training camp. I was at mini camp. You know, I go post-game. I do all that stuff. Man, I grew up a Steelers fan. I live in Pittsburgh. So I'm closest. I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm closest to this team of the 32. So I'll try to keep it brief, but I probably won't. Roethlisberger. I think he's declining slightly. Greg Cosell says this a lot. NFL defense, quarterbacks get older. NFL defenses do not. And I think that's starting to be the case with Ben. His road splits are frightening how much worse they are than his home splits. Part of that's because he's so unbelievable at home, too, in terms of numbers. But he's still, I did quarterback ranks. I think I had him sixth in the league. I mean, he's still an upper-tier player where most of his career I thought he was, you know, a little bit underrated for this generation. An easy Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I've always thought he kind of lingered around the number three quarterback in the league, where now I think he's down to six-ish. And I kind of feel like this is, you know, Le'Veon Bell is his Terrell Davis, and he's the Elway at the end of his career situation, where the focus of the offense might be drifting away from the quarterback position towards a really, really good running back. Landry Jones, they like him. They like him more than I do. He knows the system. He can, you know, as backup quarterbacks go, he's running the mill, I think, a little below average. They drafted Josh Dobbs in the fourth round. Very smart, very athletic. There's ability there. Needs a lot of work. In a way, and this is a little bit of hindsight on my opinion, I think maybe the move would have been use that pick on anything, defensive lineman, whatever. And then with the idea of next year, use a very high pick on a quarterback, first round type guy. And that's easier said than done at points. But you like Jones enough to be the two in the meantime. Ben's obviously the one for the, you would think this year and next, that's when his contract's up. That I think the time to draft the successor was next year. And unless Dobbs is a home run, that kind of leaves him in no man's land if you still do that, if Dobbs' ceiling is only as a two. So, whatever. Le'Veon Bell is a superstar. I think he's on a Hall of Fame pace. I think he's the best running back in the league, slightly over Johnson. An amazing receiver. He has some negatives that are not necessarily his fault. Well, off the field, he has been suspended. No one considers him a bad guy, though. And injuries. And he's about to also be very expensive. There's a big contract situation with him looming. He's a franchise player who's making a fortune as a franchise player, which I think is like $4 million more than any other back in the league as it stands. And do you put a ton of money into a great foundation player at a position that's easy to replace and a draft that is loaded with running backs coming out? I think you do. But I could really make a case either way to let him walk or not, and you get the comp pick. But I just don't know how you... And in the end, I guess you don't let a tremendous game-changing player leave. But what if he has an injury-filled season or gets suspended again? And Tomlin has a nasty history of running his top running back right into the ground and not having available late in the season. And Bell got hurt in the AFC Championship game against New England. They like James Conner a lot, and you know, with my Pitt background, I do too, and I'm very much rooting for him, and not just because of his story, and he beat cancer and all those things, and that's great. I mean, he's a great kid, but he is a tough guy, a chain mover. I thought his best football was late in the year, which is very encouraging this past season. I think he'll assume the number two job pretty easily. But they like Nile Davis, who's going to be a big, fast kickoff returner type. And Fitzgerald Toussaint is also has some experience and isn't bad, so maybe all four make the team. They're loaded at wide receiver. I mean, it's almost ridiculous. Like, Antonio Brown might be the best in the league. I'm not breaking any news there. Martavis Bryant is much more talented, and honestly, he might be the most talented player in the league at this position, including a Julio Jones and guys like that. He's unbelievable, and he looks better than ever, and he's rocked up and strong and seems to have his head on straight. The sky is honestly the limit with Martavis Bryant, and you if you can have those healthy skill position guys on the field, the Killer Bees, Ben Bell, Bryant, Brown, wow. I mean, that's all I can say about the potential for this offense. I still am pretty high on Sammy Coates. People around here are not. He had a ton of drops at the end of last year. He is kind of a one-trick pony, but his hands were mangled. I mean, he was playing with really through an injury in his hands. I mean, I'm not going to crush a guy for not being able to catch a ball well because of that. But he is big and fast, and I thought he was starting to really come around. Hayward Bay is a team favorite. You know, he's a leader. He's transformed his game to being a fast downfield guy, to being a special teamer and a blocker and all those things, and a veteran presence in a young wide receiver room. I just don't know if there's going to be room to make the roster. You know, they also signed Justin Hunter. DeMarcus Ayers looks good as a shifty slot type guy. Kobe Hamilton still on the roster. I think he's definitely on the outside looking in, but he played a lot of snaps last year. Eli Rogers emerged as a slot receiver. And then they used a second-round pick on Juju Smith-Schuster, who clearly he's making the team. And he's a little different than anybody they had in the building. You know, they had a couple guys that were downfield outside the number types, and then they had a couple small shifty guys. And he's more the Hines Ward, you know, the Anquan Boldin type, where I think he could be a big slot guy. I think he can be outside the number player. I think he'll have a tough time seeing the field for a while, but talent is obvious, extremely young. They like him quite a bit. So there's just too many wide receivers to go around. So if your favorite team is short on receivers, I bet there's a good chance they can pluck one off the Steelers' depth chart, you know, come cut time. The weakest position on the team to me is tight end, especially after, you know, Ladarius Green situation. Jesse James to me is a number two that's going to have to play more snaps as a one. Xavier Grimble's a guy to keep an eye on, too. He's a little better receiver, but he doesn't catch the ball as well. I know that sounds weird, but he's a better athlete than James, a little bit more of a field stretcher. He's been working hard. I think his role could grow. But overall, tight end's not a position of strength for sure. Therefore, my guess, and no one's told me this in the organization, this is just what I'm figuring on my own, considering the strengths of the team, I expect more, you know, Bell, Ben, five offensive linemen and four, you know, these wide receivers we just talked about. Or Bell, Ben, three wide receivers and an extra offensive lineman at times. And the reason I say that is I think there's a really strong case that the Steelers have the best offensive line in football. But even more than that is, unlike the rest of the league, they're really deep as well. And Gerald Hawkins, a fourth-round pick last year, really looks the part as a potential left tackle of the future. So maybe you get him on the field as your extra offensive lineman. Chris Hubbard did a lot of that last year and filled in quite well. B.J. Finney is a center guard type guy that's a tough dude. So they really go eight deep on their offensive line, and they could withstand some injuries there much better than most teams could. Ramon Foster and Alejandro Villanueva aren't big names, but they play at a big-name level. Villanueva got much, much better as the season went on. Mike Munchak's the Steelers' offensive line coach and does a fantastic job. You probably know about DeCastro and Pouncey, and they're both very, very good. Marcus Gilbert, to me, is probably the second-best right tackle in football behind Lane Johnson in Philadelphia. It's a heck of a line. I mean, it really is. Now, there are more questions on the defensive side of the ball than on offense. And honestly, this could be the best offense in the league. But I also think there's room to feel like this defense, the arrow's pointing up. They've used an awful lot of early picks on athletic specimens on this side of the ball lately. And some of them are starting to come in their own, and more will going forward. You know, that's the plan. They're more athletic than they've been. It used to be an older defense. You know, Polamalu, Ike Taylor, or, you know, all those guys. And James Harrison's really like the only guy, the only leftover from that. Still playing really well. Excuse me. But they drafted T.J. Watt, who looks really good in camp. Perfect situation for him to learn from Harrison. Dupree has been in that role under Harrison as well. Harrison's a guy that rubs off really well on these guys. Arthur Motes can certainly handle snaps. And Ciccolo has some ability too, Anthony Ciccolo. So that's five pretty good outside linebackers. If you could limit Harrison's snaps and try to keep him fresh and bring Watt along slow, mix in some Motes, play Dupree a very high percentage of the time, he looks to be turning the corner. That edge pass rush might be boosted quite a bit from where it's been of late. The interior three is a really good group. Cam Hayward's the leader of this defense. He was really missed down the stretch. He's a Pro Bowl caliber guy that probably won't go to many Pro Bowls because it's just not an area where you put up huge stats, much like Aaron Smith here before him. Stephon Tuitt might even be more talented than Hayward, a couple years younger. Really came into his own when Hayward was gone. Those are a really two, I mean, they're great players. I mean, they just are. They're both similar body types. They'll be inside on pass rushing downs, which we know is a high percentage. But they're 3-4 ends. And Javon Hargrave in his rookie year, too, did a lot of good stuff. And he's highly impressive. I mean, he can do nose tackle things. But he isn't Casey Hampton. I mean, he can get up the field and attack. So don't be surprised, even in nickel situations, because they're a little light at inside linebacker, kind of like I was talking about how they're light at tight end, that they might keep those three on the field, even on passing downs here and there, with two edge players, almost like a 5-1. And again, this is total guessing by me, but to me, that would be how you best use your personnel. They also picked up Tyson Alualu, former first-round pick from Jacksonville. They need a fourth guy in a big way. He's the best one they've had in a while. He can play nose. He can play end. He can rotate with those guys. He can, you know, take snaps as, you know, if somebody goes down without a huge drop-off. That was a really nice under-the-radar pickup for them. Daniel McCullers is a big, gigundous nose tackle, but he's just a run stopper, and he only plays a couple snaps. Just the light hasn't gone on. But LT Walton, who's a six-round pick in 15, that's somebody they like. He will be their fifth player, the guy. They also like Johnny Maxey as a potential depth guy, too. The inside linebacker position, the guy they can least afford to go down is Ryan Shazier. And he is, I don't want to compare him to Troy Polamalu, but when you watch him live, if my mom or sister or somebody that doesn't know anything about football and just casually watches, they'll say, who is that? He's faster than everybody else. You know, that's how it was with Troy, usually because Troy's hair was flying around too. But Shazier's that type of explosive, all-over-the-place guy, and he's getting better and better and better. He has an injury history, and he has to stay consistency and staying on the field are the key for him. But I think he could be a defensive MVP-type guy sometime, you know, in his career. Vince Williams steps in for Timmons, quality player, better against the run than the pass. That's kind of why I mentioned if he comes off the field in throwing situations and you play a 5-1-5 situation or, you know, even like a 4-2, but your 2 is a big defensive back, I could see that, and I could see less sets with two inside linebackers on the field at once. LJ Fort's a guy they like. Steven Johnson's really a special team demon. It wouldn't blow me away. I thought maybe they'd be in the market for a David Harris or somebody like that. There's been rumor that Paul Posluszny, he's from Pittsburgh, could be on the trading block from Jacksonville. I'm going to mention that on the air a couple times, that maybe you kick the tires on that. So that might be a position. Tight end inside linebacker might be a position that you keep an ear open for a veteran if one comes available, and an injury would really hurt you there. Secondary is not loaded with big names, but there is a lot of ability there now. There's more bodies with ability than ever before. Mike Mitchell is now pretty much the quarterback of that group. Sean Davis was highly impressive in his rookie year. Has some corner background, but he's a safety. Robert Golden's more of a strong safety type. He can play a lot of snaps. Doesn't have the highest ceiling like some of these others. Davis, to me, is going to be their do-it-all type. Not Troy Polamalu, but I think you match him up on Tyler Eifert and those type of things. Use him in a lot of ways. Blitz him a lot. Maybe use him to your line of scrimmage. I mean, I think he'll be your wild card in the secondary. Mitchell's your basically true free safety, but he does a lot of other things. I think Artie Burns has a chance to be a star, and I didn't love the pick when they made it, but he looks much better now than the first time I saw him a year ago. Certainly there's ability there. I think they're going to try to transition to play more man coverage. Burns is certainly capable of that and has that type of makeup. Ross Cockrell's much more of a zone guy. Smart, maximizes his ability, not a real high ceiling, but he's played well for the Steelers. William Gay's sort of similar to that, but he's up in age. Could be his last run. Third-round pick Cameron Sutton, they love, and a trend throughout their draft was high character, high football intelligence guys. He very much fits that mold, as does T.J. Watt. Senquez Golson is a slot receiver with a ton of ability that's missed two seasons in a row since he's come in the league as a second-round pick. He's a real wild card, but maybe he surprises. He could stay healthy. They brought in Cody Sensabaugh for overall depth. Sensabaugh, Cockrell, Gay, kind of the guys that are safe, where Sutton, Golson, Burns, Davis has a lot of ability, and if they hit, they could hit big. Fifth-round pick Brian Allen, he looks like Richard Sherman or bigger. I mean, he's a huge-looking corner with a lot of ability. I would think he has practice squad written all over him. Not to be a homer, but the Steelers are really good. I think they're probably the second-best team in the league. But Steeler fans, as you know, who number one is, there's a big chasm between, to me, the Patriots and the Steelers. And really, the Patriots and the rest of the league. I think the Steelers will win their division without a whole lot of resistance. And then you see from there. But they are very, very good.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.